Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
This is Money Stories, Episode 6, Paying It Forward with Diana Rojas.
Hi, and welcome to Money Stories, a podcast and now YouTube series where I interview fellow Catholics and Christians so we can all learn from their personal money stories. I'm Caitlin Cano, a wife, mom, financial counselor, and student of all things stewardship. Diana Rojas is a fourth grade math teacher in South Florida who learned most of her money management skills from the example of her parents. She's very involved in her parish community with the young adult ministry and is a firm believer in Compass Catholic principles. Diana thinks differently than most people do about debt and is passionate about teaching her students financial skills through a classroom management program called My Classroom Economy. We had a fun conversation and I hope you enjoy it. Hi Diana, how are you doing?
Doing well, how are you?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's exciting to be here. It's an honor to be here and ready to answer some questions.
Can you tell me briefly what exactly is your money story?
Growing up, from a very early age, I can remember my parents telling us about saving. My parents, from when they got married and even when they had my older sister, she was the first one, they solely lived off my mom's salary. And they saved my dad's entire salary. My mom was a dental hygienist, so they weren't making a lot of money, and they saved that whole salary of my dad, who was making more money, and lived off of a smaller salary. So from a very young age, I remember him telling us that and just instilling the idea of saving. And the more I thought about it, it was not just saving for saving's sake, it was saving so that we could get the more important things that we needed, not just the things that we wanted. So, you know, as the family grew, we needed a bigger house, right? So that was more important than going on vacations or than those smaller, funner things. And I kind of carried that with me as I grew up. And I can remember getting into college, and I was very, very fortunate and very blessed in that I did get a full athletic scholarship. And then I also got academic money. So I never had to worry about that as far as young adulthood, where the money was going to come from. I had an income per se, through athletics and through academics. Post-college, I remember my dad's little story of, you know, saving one income and using the smaller income as what they're gonna use. I'm only one person, so I only have one income, but I thought, like, how can I kind of incorporate that idea? So just the idea of saving's always been really important in all aspects, but especially with trying to save enough that we can get the things that I needed and kind of splurge on little things that I wanted, but more importantly was the things that I needed to have in my life. So shelter, food, that kind of stuff, a car of some sort, maybe not a newest car, but a car. So I carried that through, and it's been pretty cool to see how those little habits you learn, at least that I learned in my childhood, I carried into my adulthood. I remember kind of making a game out of it, like, how much can I save? So one thing that I did, since I didn't have two incomes, I was like, okay, how can I save some money that I'm making? is that I would save every $5 bill that I came across. So whenever I paid in cash for whatever, food, groceries, I would save any $5 bills, and didn't take me long before I had $2,000 in $5 bills saved up. So I was like, wow, this is not that difficult, right? Like, I can totally do this. Also knowing that I wanted to be a teacher, I knew that I had to start saving at a younger age because I was never going to be a millionaire, which is okay, but I knew I needed to have a little extra cushion somehow, some way. We were also taught as a young age, like, work hard, right? Work hard at whatever you do. And if you have to work two jobs, you work two jobs. So I was always either giving softball lessons or tutoring or some kind of side, something where I was able to make a little bit of extra income. And all of that was always for savings. I remember early adulthood, I was teaching already and I would have tutoring jobs, and that tutoring money in the beginning phases of my young adulthood was my spending money. So I would have a little bit of tutoring money, and that'd be for my nails or to go get some a nice dinner. And then as I got older and I started having goals in mind, like wanting to buy a house and other goals in mind, it was like, okay, well, how about you save that money? Like, your nails don't need to get painted every month. Like, you can do that less often. So just kind of changing my mentality a little bit about how and where that money's going to go to. So yeah, it's just pretty cool to see how those things I learned as a child, I kind of were able to implement as an adult and a young adult. And then also implementing it into my classroom, which is something pretty cool. I think we'll get into that a little bit later, but also implementing the idea of savings with just something that I do in my classroom. So yeah, just lifelong skills I learned as a child that I'm really, really excited to use as an adult. So that's short and sweet, my little story.
I love that you play games and you made it a game, and it wasn't, yeah. You probably look forward to getting those $5 bills, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
It was
so much fun.
I'm sure, right? And there was no enforcement of it. It was just these rules you set up for yourself. And then at the end of it, you had, you know, such a great little pot of money. So that's a really cool little tip for someone who maybe is competitive with themselves. You know, they can kind of manage themselves that way. And I think it's interesting that your story is like mine, in that I was a financial counselor for years and had all this financial knowledge and insight, and I was doing all the right things, quote unquote, right? Like, I was doing the saving, I was doing emergency fund, we didn't have debt. But when we took the, my husband and I took Faith and Money Matters Bible study, it was a change in heart set because we were both doing the right things, right? Yeah. And then you took the Bible study and I took the Bible study as well. So can you tell me about that change in your heart when it came to doing the right things financially?
Yeah, it's a really, I like that question a lot, actually, because it really was a change of heart. For up until really, until I took that class, it was very, I want to say, like, self-centered or selfish savings per se, for myself, for my future, which I still think is important. But also the idea that stuck with me through the course was the idea of stewardship. So like, it's not mine, right? Nothing that we have is ours. It all belongs to him, to our Lord. And that idea kind of changed everything. And it really brought out the practice of tithing was something I never did, because my money is my money and I want to use it how I want to use it. But the idea of it's not mine, it's his, and I should be giving it back to him so he can use it how he wants to use it. And also the idea, I think one of the other things I really appreciated about the class was kind of stopping before we make a purchase or before we spend money. And is this something that I need, but also is it something that he needs me to use my money on? So that was really cool to change my mentality about it's not mine, it's his. And just like you would ask your husband, like, is this something we need to get? Like, you know, we should be doing that before any purchase, not just with our spouse, but with the Lord. Like, is this where you need me to spend my money? Is this a good investment for myself, but also for what you need me to do with my money? So that was really cool to think about things like that. I had never thought of it like that before. So
yeah, and you were doing the right things, but doing the right things with a different perspective makes it changes everything. I appreciate your insight into that. And I know I mentioned you're doing the right things. Have you done anything where you've learned the financial lesson the hard way?
And so it's not that I've been perfect by any means, but I know one of the smaller things that I messed up a lot on was, I can remember it was almost 4 or 6 months that every month I got a fee for overdraft protection. And I was like, what is this? Like, I don't understand why. It was almost $100 that essentially was wasted on paying this fee, like, every month, where my money is going, even within my accounts, like, from, you know, from my checking account to pay my credit card bill, or from this account to pay that bill. So just being more aware of of how my money was being, I know we don't really have a class on, we don't really learn like, okay, you have to set up your account if you want to do automatic payment, or you can do withdrawal, or you can do automatic withdrawal. So that was one thing that I was so frustrated. I was like, that was $100 that I wasted on just a fee for paying the credit card late. So that was the only thing that I could really think about. That was a good lesson that I learned. And I mean, thank God it was only $100, but still it's $100. Like,
right, right. And you had mentioned that we didn't learn a lot of these things in school. Like we weren't taught a lot of these financial lessons, but you are a teacher and you've brought in a really cool program into your classroom. Can you tell me about how you apply financial wellness into your classroom and with your students?
Yes. So I use a program. I did not come up with it. It's called My Classroom Economy. And so the idea is that each child applies for a job. They fill out a job application. They have to get letters of recommendation. And then they get, I choose their jobs based off of the letters of recommendation, their applications, and each child gets paid for their job. They also have to pay rent on their desks. So at first they're like, what do you mean we're paying rent on our desks? This is our desk. I'm like, no, it's the school's desk and you're borrowing it. So you're paying rent on it. You have to take care of it. And the idea is that their salary isn't quite enough to cover the entire rent of their desk. So they have to find other ways to earn money. So there's fines and there's bonuses. Obviously, bonuses are for good behavior and fines are for less than good behavior. And so it's a lesson for them, but it's also classroom management. And so it's really cool to see them really working hard to get those bonuses because they know that their salary is not going to cover the rent on their desk. And it's cool because they keep a bank log, just like we keep our balances. They have to keep their balances as well. And it's part of the system is teaching them, you know, withdrawal means you're taking money out and deposit means you're getting money put in. So they put in all their paychecks, they put in all their bonuses, they have to add and subtract all their, you know, withdrawals and deposits. And it's really cool because you can see their habits coming out. So some of them will save just enough to pay rent and some of them will save enough to pay rent and then buy some goodies after when they paid their rent. And the last thing that we get to do is that they get to option two. They can pay $1,000 each month or they can save $3,000 and pay off their rent, their desk in full. So some kids, that was their first goal. They're like, Miss Rojas, I'm saving $3,000. I'm like, awesome, you do that. And some kids barely make rent each month and then they're upset, like, I'm still paying rent. While other kids like, I'm done paying rent. So it's really cool to see their own, you know, 9 and 10 year old little spending habits and saving habits come out just through this program. So it's really cool. I love doing it.
I just love that. And it's such a multidisciplinary approach to, you know, they learn about mortgages and paying rent and, you know, and other behaviors are associated with their financial wellness. That's just such a great program. So your parents taught you your lessons, right? And still, you said as a youth, you learned that and brought that into your adulthood. What lessons do you hope your students are going to take away from your financial lessons in the classroom and use into their adulthood?
Yeah, I think what I really want these kids to learn, I'm very fortunate that I work at a school we pay tuition and the parents are very well off and the children don't struggle as far as economics goes. And that's a blessing for them, right? I think some of them lose sight of the fact that it doesn't come easy to everyone. And so I use myself as an example when I tell them, you know, guys, like I'm not married. I only have one income. I don't make that much money, but I was still able to buy a house. So what I try to teach them is to sacrifice the little things to save for the bigger things. So yeah, sure. You can buy, you know, to sit next to your friend, you can buy a coupon to take your shoes off. And that's great for that one day, or you can save that money and then you can pay off your desk in full, or that month you can pay off your rent. And then at the end of the year, you can have enough money saved up to buy the big prize or the big thing at the end of the year. So that was a lesson that I learned, was like save and sacrifice the little things for the bigger things, the more important things. And that's what I try to remind them. And also, I know that as adults, you know, loaning money is very different, but they're so good about being kind and helping each other out, which is a huge thing as well that I try to instill is kindness. And it's so cute to watch them like, you're short $10 here, I'll lend you $10. And so that's also part of it, is like, you know, make sure they're being kind to each other. But yeah, just saving and sacrificing on the smaller things that we don't really need to be able to afford and maintain those larger items that we, you know, we do need. So yeah,
that's an awesome program, and hopefully they will take that to their adulthood, because financial wellness can have a multi-generational impact.
That's
a really cool story. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us today. This has been phenomenal, and you're doing such good work.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I think it's important, you know, like I said, something that I never took a class on how to manage your money other than the Catholic Compass, which was amazing. Compass Catholic, I'm sorry. But the fact that I can share that with 9 and 10 year olds, like you said, hopefully they remember some part of it and use some part of it. And I know they all go home and tell their parents, and their parents will even be like, why are you telling my kids about mortgages? I'm like, it just came up in conversation, and it's super cool that they know what it is now. And so, yeah, I really hope that they can use it as they grow up and hopefully remember some part of it. And if they do, then I played a little tiny part in that, and that's super awesome.
Great, great. Well, thank you. And thank you for doing all that you do. That's phenomenal. Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information about Compass Catholic Ministries, including the various Bible studies and services that we offer, please visit compasscatholic.org. If you enjoy Money Stories, please share it with a friend. You may also like Compass Catholic's other podcast, Manage Your Money God's Way, available wherever you get your podcast. If you have any comments about today's show or suggestions for future shows, please email us at info@compasscatholic.org. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.